This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's your weekly fix of international LGBTI news and current affairs. It's Worldwide Wave, taking you around the globe one country at a time. Thanks to the Informer team for bringing us the latest in local news and current affairs there. Worldwide Wave, tonight on the panel, Paul is here.
Good evening.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
And I'm Matt. After the Me Too movement, the workplace culture in science has increasingly been under the spotlight around the world for how people are treated within it. A group of scientists are taking on inclusion in the first worldwide event of the LGBT in STEM Day. That's STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Maths and Medicine.
How can science support the LGBT community?
How does an inclusive workplace culture change people's lives?
And what is the Australian contribution to a worldwide day in recognition of all LGBTI people in STEM? Putting inclusion in science under the microscope, tonight we are talking with Sarah Stevenson and Roberto Benelli. They're two medical researchers from Melbourne involved in this special day.
Hi, my name is Robbie Watt. I'm from Kootruk, Northern Quebec in Canada, and you're listening to the Worldwide Wave.
that was the T out of STEM for technology with TV and radio by Sergei Lazarov.
As we're talking all things LGBT in the scientific area tonight, some messages in from last week's show. Last week we looked at that book ban, the children's books, which sort of had some LGBT themes that had been hidden from shelves in Hong Kong. And our guest there, Bess Hepworth from Planet Ally. Brian said, great show. Bess actually responded because we put up a photo of all of us holding up very queer books. And she said, this is Free My Library Gold. So hashtag Free My Library is their theme. Thank you. Just love it. Can't wait to share it and have a listen to the replay. And Young Fa from Singapore also made mention that they'd gone through a similar thing in Singapore with these very strange and painful book bans, but the fight goes on. Hashtag Free My Library. Post your photos in support of the LGBT community in Hong Kong.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We're talking LGBT in STEM. Now, what does STEM stand for?
Well, it generally stands for science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and then occasionally there's an extra M for medicine. And it's a term used to group all of these academic disciplines together.
Some analysis by a researcher by the name of Erin Check, a sociologist at Rice University in the United States, looked at US federal employees and found 20% fewer LGBTI workers who worked in these science-related jobs than the general population.
Yes, this underrepresentation was a factor that reduced the visibility of the LGBTI, because obviously sexual orientation is a bit of a hidden characteristic.
And also women are underrepresented in these areas as well. A sizable proportion of the LGBT STEM workforce is closeted. A 2015 study estimated that to be 43%, quite not far off that study we heard out of the USA, which has just come out now. So things seem to be moving very slowly.
So there's another report in 2012 showed that one of the main reasons that students actually gave up these STEM fields was that sometimes they didn't actually feel welcome, or that the bodies were not attuned to the minority groups.
They looked at they looked at undergraduate research, and heterosexual men were 17% more likely to continue in their research than LGBT counterparts, i.e. queer ones dropped out.
Although there's a bit of a positive one, because it was the reverse for women. So LGBT women were 18% more likely to stay than their heterosexual counterparts.
And another study, it's actually good that there's some studies into science. They've applied a very scientific approach to this sort of study in the US. 4,162 college students in the STEM area showed that there was a 7% difference, a 7% drop in sexual minorities being retained in their area of study. So we're exploring all things science, the sciences, and the LGBT community on World Wide Wave.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427 JOY 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Coming out at work can be a difficult or scary process, and the level of acceptance can differ from industry to industry. Tonight, we're looking at the sciences, collectively known as STEM. Sarah and Roberto work in medical research here in Melbourne, and they are organising a day to celebrate the first LGBT in STEM Day. We ask them, firstly, what actually is STEM?
Right, so STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and medicine. And the LGBT STEM Day is a day for recognition of all the really important impact that all the people from the LGBT community bring and the queer community bring to STEM.
What was the historical acceptance of LGBT people within STEM?
So actually, in we have here like some data, and coming from a report in 2017, the Australian Workplace Equality Index found that almost half of queer employees in general, so not only in STEM, are actually not out at work. And actually, one out of six Australians declared they were negatively impacted by a hostile behavior. And this was related to like who they were and how they were relating, how they were behaving like at work. And even more concerning is that the report, they have observed that not even half of these people started reporting problem at works. At the same time, though, this same study noticed that when organizations and institutions started to help people, like, and create like a very inclusive and diverse environment, and basically they were starting to show that they care about inclusion and they were really like promoting, they basically started seeing that this kind of organization had a much better response from their employees regarding like to this problem, like way more people were coming out, way less people were experiencing problems, and if they were experiencing any problem, they were much more likely to report it immediately.
Yeah, and I think it's important for organisations to be sure that their staff and students know the values of the organisation. So an example is I went to the US to do a sabbatical a couple of years ago, and I was going to a small coastal town in the US. I had no idea about what the culture was like there, and within an hour of arriving at work, I was handed my welcome pack that included a public statement about what their values were on diversity and inclusion. So I knew right away that I was welcomed, accepted, I could talk about my relationship, my partner, and connect with the fellow employees there. And I think having items like that is really important to allow LGBTIQ people to engage with their work environments.
Yeah, so how did you go going to a different lab, a different institute, different culture? I mean, that's hard for everyone.
Yeah, well, it was a wonderful experience. There's actually quite a active gay community there within the institute and really promoted. So I had a wonderful time connecting with people and socialising with them.
That was Sarah Stevenson and Roberto Bellini from Melbourne on the World LGBTI in STEM Day.
We've got lots more coming up on that. It's interesting, the I was just looking, we were talking before at the top of the show about an American study which sort of showed nearly half people weren't willing to come out at work. Here's an Australian one. The Australian Workplace Equality Index found that nearly half of LGBTIQ Australians hid their sexuality at work. This is like one of the last frontiers, I think.
It's interesting because a lot, I mean, as we said in the wrap, there's a lot of work actually going in the US into actually improving the culture in many big or not organisations, but people still don't feel comfortable coming out.
So the question is that just a lag or is that... is that a problem?
Mm. Maybe it's more that you got the policies, now you got to get the minds to follow the policy.
I think it might be a lot harder in STEM as well, because specifically in it's an underrepresented industry in terms of, say, the general public as well. So getting everyone else on board might be harder than, say, marketing or some other area of other businesses.
Perhaps we might explore the industry, different industries, very shortly on World Wide Wave.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
Science.
And that was the S for science. I'm being blinded by it.
Love Thomas Dolby. It took me back to the 80s. Loving it. 317, hi guys. Maybe it's because they're considered too nerdy and don't fit into the buffed up shallow profile that gay men always promote. We're a victim of our own success when we create these unrealistic stereotypes. I don't know. Some
should we
nerds
be offended?
Can be quite sexy.
I mean, we're both here sitting with glasses on and yeah. We're both nerdy.
I think that's closer to old age than nerdy, but anyway. Also mentions there that the sexiest part of a person is their brain.
Yes, it's what you can do with it, not the size of it that matters.
That's very true. 317 also says, maybe some people want to be respected for their merits firstly and not only their sexuality. Whilst it's very important to have an inclusive workplace, being openly gay is not a prerequisite for many young professionals, especially those involved in heavy research like science. That is true, that it's kind of that even permeates through to, you know, gay clubs and things. It's just not as, I mean... Tom, you're our resident young person here. Is being out at work important, or is it nothing?
Well,
we're still not at work, but
yeah. Well, I'm still at school, so everyone's. I mean, I guess coming out at school just makes people a lot more comfortable with themselves day to day life. But I think when they're looking forward to what careers to pick, I mean, firstly they're still trying to figure out what career they want to pick, so they're more focused on, you know, like 317's saying, like along their how they professionally stand rather than gender identity and stuff like that. So
yeah, let us know your thoughts. 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
And back to our guests, where we're talking to Robbie Benelli and Sarah Stephenson. They are organising the Australian version of the first LGBT in STEM Day, Science, Technology, Engineering and Maths. We asked them, how open can you be in a science and technology workplace about yourself?
Do you guys feel comfortable being open with colleagues about who you are? And have there been instances when you've been advised not to?
So, personally, no. Like, I've never had any kind of problem, but I guess it's probably because I've been really, really lucky. Like, in my, probably like my entire life history, like, I had a very, very supportive family and also like a very, very supportive group of friends, even back when I was like in Italy. And throughout both like my university experience, my work in Italy, and even here, like in Australia, in my research institute, like, I've never found any kind of problem whatsoever. Like, yeah. Of course, like, on the back of your mind, you're always like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe, like, I should just hide myself and not really outing myself too much, because you never know who's going to be your next employer. And that's scary sometimes. But then at the same time, you know, like, finding an institute like the one that I'm working in, and also like the one in which Sarah is working in right now, which actively support, you know, diversity and inclusion and queer culture, and like they really make you feel like protected. Say, for example, a few years ago, a few months ago, we had the plebiscite for same-sex marriage. And my institute, which is the Walter and Eliza Hawley Institute, put out a public statement releasing that they were in favor of same-sex marriage. And it was funny because someone asked, like, why is a medical research institute, you know, should support a political statement? And I realized that, like, our institute, like, it was not only doing a political statement, it was doing a support statement for his employees.
So it's external and internal.
Exactly. Like, and I felt when my institute, like, said, it's okay, and we recognize that, like, you should have the same rights, and don't worry, you are protected here. You don't have to worry about anything. That was really, like, mind-changing, like, completely. Because I was like, if I would ever have any problem, I know my institute and my workplace will support me.
So I was actually in the audience when you got up and said stuff, and it brought a tear to my eye, and many other people. It was very, really powerful.
It was an important thing to make people like realize this is not only politics. This really like affects people day to day life. Like, it makes me feel good coming to work. It makes me feel protected. It makes me want to be who I am and not be scared of, like, you know, like, consequences that should not even exist.
So I guess this is why we need an LGBT in STEM Day.
Exactly.
What's the situation like now in LGBTIQ in STEM?
When I came back from the US, I joined the Diversity and Inclusion Committee in my institute and got together with some other individuals who made an LGBTI subgroup, and we started creating a network within the institute. And we did that more broadly on our campus because we've got four campus partners where we are. And we created a network for everyone on the campus. And then when the plebiscite happened, we started to become a lot more active and working with the corporate services HR to have statements of support released with it internally for staff to know that there was services available if they needed them. But also one thing that we were concerned about was that the No campaign was using children in same-sex marriages quite a lot in their argument, and so we came together with a number of leading paediatricians and researchers within the institute, and we analysed 3 decades worth of data in the research area and put out a statement from the Melbourne Children's Campus saying that there was no issues with children raised by same-sex parents, and in fact it's discrimination that's harming young people. And we also published that in the Medical Journal of Australia during the vote.
Yeah,
that's an important way to show how we can come together as researchers and clinicians and help to correct the public discourse when research evidence is being used inappropriately.
What are you planning for LGBT and STEM Day?
Actually, a few months ago, me and Sarah started this association called Queers in Science. And our association, like, basically what we want to do is that we want to promote visibility and advocacy of queer people in the Australian science environment. And we found this event and we basically like realized, oh my God, like this is an amazing opportunity to join something which is international, because like this is basically like an event that was organized by different associations from different countries, like from Europe. And so we worked together with the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute to actually join the first international LGBT STEM Day. And this day, like, we really see it as a day for recognition. So for that day, we are actually hosting a morning tea at the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute. And we are going to have a special guest speaker, which is going to be Professor Lisa Harvey-Smith, who works as an astrophysicist at CSIRO and has for many years proudly supported diversity and inclusion of the queer community in STEM here in Australia. Actually, in the same day, we are also going to feature this visibility campaign, which we have called The Queers Wall. And The Queers Wall is basically going to be an entire wall of queer people working in science or around science. And all these people are going to come from all the different medical research institutes in our area. And it's basically like a way of recognizing all those people working around science that make science possible and at the same time are queer. The world will basically be a statement that represents belonging, empowerment, pride and support. This world, like, we also wanted like to be an invitation for everybody to feel welcome at their own workplace, and set as an example for all those organizations who want to embrace and champion inclusive communities. So like we really want like this world to attract people and say, it's okay. Like, we are here, we are not scared, we are proud of who we are, and also like for the institutes, we are many. And we need you to make us feel welcome, to make us feel protected, to make us feel ourselves.
That's Robbie Benelli and Sarah Stevenson from the LGBT in STEM Day, which is this week on July 5, speaking there with our very own Sarah. One thing that just, as Robbie was speaking, he said that active workplace support, so where the workplace visibly says, you know, we've got inclusive policies and things, makes you feel protected. And I thought that was a really interesting use of words. It wasn't makes you feel accepted, it was makes you feel protected.
Yes, so it's not necessarily going to stop any harassment, but if anything occurs, you've got a fallback.
You've got support, you've got development there. But I guess that's kind of a bit of the theme that we're hearing in some of the data that, you know, whilst there are businesses that are being very progressive and who are creating policies and workplace pride groups, it's not necessarily flowing through to acceptance or the degree of comfort that everybody feels that they can just come out of work.
There's another survey, again, from the US, but this one found that one in five physicists, there's too many S's in there, from sexual and gender minorities had actually been either excluded, intimidated, or harassed at work. Now, you think these people are enlightened, the people that are working
certainly
with?
Certainly
educated, yet they're still getting intimidated and harassed.
There's the reverse side of that is that if you aren't out, are you bringing all of yourself to work? If you aren't, you know, being open with people, are you... you know, it's almost a productivity side of things, I guess, from a workplace point of view. In fact, I've heard a CEO talk about it in that way.
That's the way it's been. I work for one of the state government departments, and that's how it's been promoted there for inclusion and diversity. That it's actually, you'd be able to bring your whole self to work and be more productive. But we actually have had an issue or a lack of interest in actually having a pride network.
I wonder if that's to do with a fear of being visibly a part of a pride network, or whether it's just a comfort thing, or whether, as Tom said, it's not as important.
I think part of it is that it's not seen as important. But I have heard that some people are concerned it will affect their promotion of opportunities.
I had a message in on this one actually from 580. Being yourself at work is very important. Your sexuality isn't a small part of you that you can just hide away. It's at the core of your being. How could you feel okay and hide it? Yeah, interesting questions. The other thing I liked that they were talking about there was the queer wall, and I think that's a good way of giving visibility to the fact that there are other LGBT people in your workplace and that it is okay. Might actually bring some role models. I know he was, Robbie was mentioning there, a fairly senior CSIRO scientist who is out and has had stories written about her and everything. So,
but even historical figures from science that were LGBTI. You could include those on the wall.
True, yeah. I hadn't thought about that too. We've got some more coming up about the first LGBT in STEM Day this week with our guests. You are on World Wide Wave.
Dzień dobry. I am Kylie from Poland. It's great to have a place like Joy 94.9 where we can talk about trans issues from across the globe on a World Wide Wave.
Skies are crying, I am watching. Catching teardrops in my head. Only silence as it's ending, like we never had a chance. Do you have to make me feel like there's nothing left of me? You can take everything I have. You can break everything. As the smoke clears, I awaken and untangle you from me. Would it make you feel better to watch me while I bleed? All my windows still are broken, but I'm standing on my feet. You can take everything. You can break it.
And that was the E with Skyscraper, and that was sung by Sam Bailey.
Wave, and tonight we're talking with the organisers of the Australian chapter of the first LGBT in STEM Day, which is Science, Technology, Engineering, Maths and Medicine. We asked how they hope to see change in the future.
It's important that the universities, research institutes, organisations and governing bodies understand the challenges that are faced by their LGBTI peers and that they need to become active participants in making STEM a more inclusive community. We hope that the International Day of LGBTI plus individuals in STEM will help to promote visibility and representation of individuals who work in science and act as a catalyst for the Australian STEM community to actively engage in creating inclusive environments for their queer colleagues. We also hope that the Queers in Science Network will play an active role in this process by strengthening the STEM LGBTIQ community and connecting the queer individuals with the partners that can help support and improve their visibility.
Okay, sounds good. So what examples do you have of how the future can be better, different, brighter?
So actually I've got a really nice example that shows how important it is that we have visibility for individuals within both the STEM and the communities that we work in, which is clinical. Sure. I work in the Melbourne Children's Campus, and I was speaking recently actually with a friend of mine who's a clinician, and this clinician relayed this story to me that I think was quite powerful, about a young person who was recently diagnosed with a life-limiting condition. And this clinician wears a small rainbow badge on their lanyard to demonstrate their support for inclusion. So at the outset of this consultation with this individual, the young person's parents asked the clinician to refrain from using gender-specific pronouns when speaking with the individual, which they adhered to, you know, during the consultation. And after what was quite a lengthy consultation with this young person, they asked the individual if they had any questions, and they responded yes. And expecting that they were going to get questions about, you know, the treatment options or prognosis or can you write me a letter to get out of my homework, instead they got a very deliberate question, which was, do you wear rainbow badges to represent pride? And they acknowledged this, and the young person beamed back and said, thank you. So it's just a wonderful example of how these small little gestures that we can do make a big difference to these young people's lives.
How can we find out more?
So we actually have, right now we have a Twitter account, which is called Queers in Science. And so, yeah, if you want any update or any event we are doing, surely we're going to post everything there. And we are soon going to open as well, like a website, a Facebook page, and an Instagram account. So this is all work in progress. So if you don't find us there yet, it's because we are not there yet, but definitely we're going to come. But yeah, as a starting point, if you need, yeah, we're on Twitter. And of course, if one of you wants to reach out, like if one of you is from any kind of STEM field just and want to participate like with us to make other events or, you know, just like to come in our big community and start promoting visibility and advocacy, like absolutely, like feel free to contact us. Actually, please do contact us. And we can work together to make all of this even better.
What day is LGBT and STEM Day going to be?
The 5th of July.
Okay. Yep. That's the big day.
Yes.
Yep. That's every year from day. Now on. Yes.
Absolutely. Never miss one again.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
No news is good news, right? Whoever said that? Joy is currently on the hunt for talented newsreaders to volunteer their time on our news and current affairs team. Join one of the most comprehensive and reliable LGBTIQ news services around. Passionate about news and current affairs and being a voice for the diverse LGBTIQ community, we need you. Apply now. Full training provided, free for Joy members. Email our news director now on nd@joy.org.au. That's nd@joy.org.au. For more information or see the volunteer vacancies pages on the Joy website. Joy 94.9. Your voice, your radio station.
KHQ Lawyers offer private wealth advice for the LGBTI community that you can trust.
Our team has expertise in all areas of law relating to estate planning, succession planning and taxation.
We provide a free 30-minute consultation with no obligations to you. We take a holistic view of your assets and family circumstances to provide you with a high-level analysis and suggestions of your next steps.
Leave a peaceful financial legacy for your family and loved ones without any legal fuss. Chat to KHQ about a succession plan today.
Find out more and get in touch at khq.com.au. KHQ Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
Mamma mia, here we go again.
I'm pregnant, but I don't know how to do this by myself.
Let me tell you how she did it, all on her own.
Life is short. I want to make some memories.
The entire cast is back, plus more.
We can't tell anybody else about the baby, okay?
I just told Bill.
Yeah, and I told Harry.
And I told many, many people.
In cinemas, July 19.
Let's get the party started.
You weren't invited.
For your chance to win tickets to the Melbourne premiere, tune into Breakfast every day this week.
That's the best kind of party, little girl.
Joy sponsor.
Hello, Australia. This is Norm Apple.
A big thank you to our guests tonight, Sarah Stevenson and Roberto Bonelli, two medical researchers in Melbourne involved in the LGBT in STEM Day. You can find them on Twitter.
We'd like to say thank you for all the messages and all the ones that came in through Facebook. Jesse, Richard, Wex, Regina and Heap Moore. That's through W3Joy on Facebook.
Plus 317 and 580 on the SMS tonight. Behind the scenes, our podcaster.
Yes, thank you very much to Alex and our social media master, Dean.
We'll catch you next week. What's our scientific
chain
song?
Reaction.
Love it. We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.